right, let's get quiet. Good afternoon and welcome. This is the special commission meeting of March 20th, 2023, relating to the emergency measures imposed by the city manager on March 19th, 2023, and the city manager's intent to impose emergency measures from March 23rd through March 27th of 2023. Right now we have in chambers the Vice Mayor, Commissioner Fernandez, and Commissioner Areola, and we have online Commissioners Richardson, Commissioner Kristen Rosen Gonzalez, and Commissioner Dominguez. Correct me, but I believe we now have a physical quorum, and therefore everybody can vote.
You have a physical quorum, and you can lawfully transact business, Mayor.
All right. So we're legal. Let's begin first with calling up the are there any announcements, or are you just going to go right to the item?
For the record, the webinar ID is 813-928-576-71#, 813-928-576-71#, and the toll-free number is 888-475-4499. That's zoom.us.
Okay, so what we're going to do is, you want to call up the single item we are considering today?
Yes, sir. That's item R9A, discussion regarding the city manager's March 19th declaration of state of emergency relating to the public safety impacts of excessively large crowds during the March 2023 period, and take action with regard to any and all associated measures, including but not limited to the March 19, 2023 measures imposed by the city manager, and the city manager's intent to impose emergency measures for the period from March 23, 2023 to March 27, 2023.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do this afternoon. In a moment, I'm going to turn it over to the city manager to explain where we are and what's been going on. We have our police chief and our city attorney here, who are the three officers of the city most necessary to helping us make these decisions, and we are going to hear the manager. After that, we're going to come back to commissioners, and I'll recognize the commissioners if they want to speak, and then we're going to vote. And let me just say before I hand it over to the to our manager, this is not a new moment for us or for the city. We've had this issue now for quite some time, obviously. But the only thing I would want to say is, first, I want to thank the manager, our police chief, all of our city staff, all of the first responders, all of the, frankly, the city personnel. These are very challenging moments. Very few cities have to deal with these issues the way that we have to deal with them. We had an enormous presence of police officers. Within seconds of the two incidents over the weekend, police officers were on the scene. Within minutes, the assailants were under arrest. Obviously, enormous presence of police was not enough to deter the criminal behavior we saw and observed. Obviously, as a commission, we can't allow our streets to be dangerous in this way, and therefore we have to act. I appreciate the manager putting us into a 12 o'clock curfew, and I think the 6 o'clock ending of liquor sales in the curfew area was correct. Today we will just be deciding whether we want to extend that from Thursday until Monday of this weekend coming up. And I think what we will do is first listen to the manager and her staff, hear from our city attorney if that is necessary. I'll invite my colleagues to ask them any questions they need to come to their own judgments, and then we'll vote. So I'll turn it over at this point to our manager to give us an explanation of where things are and what she is recommending for next weekend.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. I apologize for my voice. I am sick. Following a full year of planning, negotiating, and convincing outstanding partners to work with us on the programming of a full month of Miami Beach Live, I find myself in the heartbreaking position of having to recommend to all of you that we again implement a curfew beginning this coming Thursday at 11:59 p.m. through Monday at 6 a.m. The curfew area will encompass the area of the city bounded by 23rd Street and Dade Boulevard on the north, Government Cut on the south, Biscayne Bay on the west, and the Atlantic Ocean on the east. The curfew will also include the closure of all packaged liquor stores in the defined area at 6 p.m. and the closure of all of our public parking garages at 9 p.m. After implementing evening programming, concerts with diverse and renowned artists, athletic competitions of professional and Olympic caliber athletes, and an outstanding art festival, it is clear that the crowds that came here this weekend were intent in causing chaos. All of our activations were well attended and enjoyed by many, both during the daytime and our athletic competitions and our concerts in the evening. All athletic competitions experienced full capacity in both courts. We went into this weekend prepared. We went into this weekend with high hopes and optimism as arrests and enforcement information showed progress. We went into this weekend with the highest level of programming and activations that this city has ever planned for. Every public safety asset in our city was mobilized, including the LPR details, including the 20-plus LPR details that we have in our city. And I want to repeat that again, including the LPR detail on Fifth Street and including the 20-plus LPR details that we have in our city. Multiple law enforcement agencies participating and supporting our efforts. Every form of enforcement within our jurisdiction was enhanced, including code, parking, and park rangers. I want to thank our partners from the Miami Marlins to the King of the Courts, the Association of Volleyball Professionals, the United First Responders Concert, the Kiwanis of Little Havana, our own production company, the Greater Miami Visitors and Convention Bureau, and so many others who believed in our vision and how we could impact the footprint of Ocean Drive and Loomis Park. All continue to support us and all love Miami Beach as much as we do. I have a responsibility to protect our residents, and we did everything we could to protect the neighborhoods, as we always do during any high-impact periods, including restricting access to the residential neighborhoods. There were sad and tragic moments this weekend, but knowing that innocent victims, including our participating athletes and their families who chose to stay on Ocean Drive, who genuinely came to Miami Beach to experience a dream, were caught in the middle of this crowd is horrible, and it cannot be allowed next weekend. Many will question the timing of this decision. That is very fair. We have a legal and constitutional bar that we must meet. By law, the curfew is a measure of last resort and not something that I have the authority to implement freely or in advance. I want to close by thanking and commending the heroic efforts of all of our employees, most especially the brave and courageous police officers who serve our city, the brave and courageous firefighters who serve our city, all of our field and operational members of our family, as well as the volunteer goodwill ambassadors, and all of our senior management, including all of our department directors who are here today, who were out by my side till all hours in the middle of the night. Many of us haven't slept in 3 days. I also want to thank those of you who were out with us by our side experiencing the challenges. Your perspective today is uniquely important. Our thoughts for the future are for another day. My most important responsibility today is to protect the safety of our residents, our businesses, our visitors, and our employees. Today, based on all the evidence our public safety officials and I have witnessed this weekend, I strongly urge you to support my recommendation that a curfew be implemented starting this Thursday to protect the public safety of our city in this defined area. We stand prepared to provide you with any level of detail that you need to support this decision.
Okay, thank you. Please, you're not recognized. Okay, Mr. Wallach, you're not recognized. You can't interrupt meetings. You cannot. Okay. Let's move on. Vice Mayor, you're recognized, and then I'll move to Commissioner Fernandez.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for calling this meeting today. I have a feeling you probably would have called it anyway, but I did officially make a request yesterday to call this meeting, and thank you, City Manager, for implementing the curfew last night. Enough is enough. I am so happy you shut this down last night. We have been through this scene for several years in a row. How many times? It is never going to be okay for me to see a dead person on our street. These are people with families, with friends who are in mourning right now. Sometimes we forget that. It's not just a person who, I mean, the visuals are horrific enough, but there are people mourning right now. And that is never going to be okay in our city. And I cannot, you know, I'm getting calls about, and I understand there's two sides to this, and there's a lot of money at stake. But we also have people's lives at stake. And our police chief is telling me that this next weekend is the second busiest weekend of spring break. It's not okay.
Hey, look, if you cannot be quiet, you're going to be asked to leave. Please. Go ahead, Commissioner.
You know, it's unfortunate because most people, we had extremely large crowds. Most people came here and were lawfully abiding by the rules and having a good time. There's no question about it. But we have a situation where we can't control the violence on our streets. There's too many guns, and we can't control it. Now, last year, several people, I don't want to tell you, I know this has been discussed for multiple years. I'll give a shout out to Andres Alcion, who sent actually a pretty comprehensive plan about putting in checkpoints. I had multiple conversations with our city attorney's office, police department, city manager about it. Ultimately, it was not something we moved forward to it. I've been discussing with our city attorney for the last month or so. I put a commission item on that we're going to discuss next Monday. We have to do it. I'm just giving forewarning to everyone involved. I am going to push hard for this. Ultra Music Festival does it. Disney does it. Universal does it. There's a reason why they do it. And then everyone can come and have a great time. And you can make sure that drugs don't come in, firearms don't come in. It can be done, and it'll send the right message. You want to come here? You want to enjoy? You play by the rules, and you're not going to have a firearm on you. So what I'm saying is I don't want a curfew next year. That's not my goal. My goal is everything stays open, but you come in, and there's going to be checkpoints, and you make sure you come in safe. But until we get to that point, and we're not going to have it ready in a week, we need to make sure that our residents are safe and that everyone who visits our city is safe. And right now, I don't feel comfortable saying that without implementing a curfew, so I support it. Thank you.
Mr. Fernandez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Madam Manager, and to your staff, especially to our first responders and law enforcement who have been bravely in the streets of this city. Last year, it was 350 arrests by the time that that emergency order was issued. That was 2021. Last year, it was hundreds more, over 300. This year, again, over 322 arrests, leading to this state of emergency. These aren't spring breakers. They're lawbreakers who don't respect police. They don't respect law. They don't respect innocent lives. And I need to follow the recommendation of our law enforcement when they tell me that they need this emergency order to protect our city. This is not about dollars and cents. It's about law and safety. It's about lives and safety. And if our police chief is recommending that we need this emergency order for this next weekend to protect lives, to prevent the repeat of gun violence in our streets, I will 100% support our law enforcement. As Commissioner Miner said, enough is enough. And our city needs to be safe. Our visitors need to realize that this is a community that values its laws. We can't have visitors who just plainly demonstrate a complete and total disregard for the rule of law. So, Madam Manager, I'll support your recommendation, and I'll support the needs of our law enforcement. Thank you.
Okay. Please. All right. Anyone else want to hear, be heard? Yes. Commissioner Ayola, you're recognized.
Yeah, a couple thoughts. First of all, I want to thank Alina. I know no matter the outcome of today, no matter what happens, you're going to get criticized. So I'm empathetic. I want to thank you for, you know, your hard work. I know, you do everything you can to keep us safe. You do everything you can to support our tourist market, our residents, our businesses, and, it's impossible to be perfect, especially in the conditions we find ourselves in. So I just want to thank you, Chief, on behalf of, myself. I want to thank you and all of our police officers for the tireless efforts to keep us safe. We saw those horrible videos, and I mean, you could count the seconds on your hands how quickly our officers were on the scene administering CPR and keeping everybody safe. And, but for the grace of God, other people weren't injured. These are incredibly difficult decisions that we have to try to make to try to, first and foremost, keep everybody in our city safe, our residents, our visitors, our businesses. And nothing we do today is going to make everybody happy. The best we can do is to try to craft something that keeps everybody safe and allows people to still enjoy our city, whether that be our residents, our tourists, and our businesses, and the businesses that employ so many people. So, you know, what I'd like to have a conversation today is, you know, of the proposals that you've made, Madam Manager, are the things that we can more carefully craft to try to accommodate our businesses, the employees that they employ, the tourists that have come in or are coming in from out of town to enjoy not just things here on the beach, but, you know, next weekend we know that we have a major event at Ultra, which brings hundreds of thousands of people from, you know, around the world that are going to be impacted by the decisions we make today. So, you know, I have some ideas, but, you know, that's the conversation I want to have. Are there things that we can explore to, you know, more carefully craft this so that, you know, we accomplish public safety, which is our number one objective, but also, you know, not unduly impact, you know, our residents and visitors and our businesses.
Are you engaged? I'm going
to
have three.
Yeah, you want me to start throwing out ideas? Or?
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to get to the folks online. Do you want me to go through them first, or do you want to go ahead and talk a little bit about what you're thinking?
Well, so some of the things that I've been thinking about are along the lines of what Commissioner Minor was talking about, and I know that we've discussed in the past, which is my observation this year and in prior years, there is a certain part of our city where a lot of this horrible activity is taking place. That is sort of the Ocean Drive area, not exclusively Ocean Drive, but Ocean Drive being, you know, the area where the largest number of people congregate, not exclusively, but, you know, just because it's the largest landmass in our city, in South Beach. That's where people tend to congregate. You know, are there things that we can do to continue to beef up security, such as barricades, more lights, metal detectors, you know, things that we can do to enhance, you know, public safety to make sure people are not walking into that area with weapons. I'd like to explore that if that's even feasible. If it's not feasible this year, for sure next year we have to explore this because people should not be able to walk into an area, a crowded area, with weapons. I mean, there's got to be a better way than what we've seen just over this past weekend. The other one is just the whole area. I mean, basically this covers almost all of South Beach. If you start thinking about the fast food restaurants, the retail shops, not even talking bars and nightclubs, you're talking about thousands of employees that won't get a paycheck. That has unintended consequences. There are certain areas that are covered, such as Lincoln Road, for example, that rarely, if ever, has any problems. You know, I'd like to see certain areas carved out from the curfew zone. So that's some of the things I'd like to discuss.
Okay, please sit down. You can no. You can, all right, you got to sit down. All right, look. I don't want to have you removed. You got to stop it. You got to stop it. You got to sit. You got to sit down. All right, let's continue. Do you want to talk with the manager a little bit, or do you want to?
I've thrown out a couple of things, right? You know, if you think about where a lot of this is happening, call it Ocean Drive, and, you know, I hate to overemphasize that it's only Ocean Drive. It's not. But, you know, if we try to target where the largest number of people have been gathering, where we've had the stampedes, where we've had the shootings, where we've had, you know, cars being vandalized, that's the area. So what more can we do to take weapons out of that area? What more can we do to break up crowds? What more can we do to make things safer so that the rest of South Beach doesn't have to pay such a heavy price? That's what's on my mind today.
I don't. Look, you've got a hey. Listen, in a second you're going to be removed. Okay, you gotta respect this process. I, as angry as you can be, you gotta just sit there and listen. That's how this works. All right. I really don't want to ask the police to remove you. Please. Alina, you want to talk a little bit about any of these? Or the chief?
I can specifically address the issue of Ocean Drive. Last year, you'll remember that Ocean Drive was opened, and actually we ended up having to shut it down because the crowd took over Ocean Drive. This year, the goal was for the footprint of all of the activations to take over Lummis Park and Ocean Drive to force and to limit the amount of congregation and to keep the flow of people moving. And to a certain extent, and the police can certainly attest to that, we saw evidence of that happening. What you experience when you're on Ocean Drive is that there are multiple points at which congregation happen. From 5 to 8 p.m., you see the congregation that happens on the actual beach. And if I had to express, you know, where I believe the legitimate spring breakers are between 5 and 8 p.m. from Friday to possibly Sunday night, you see a legitimate group of young people who go onto the beach and party and do all kinds of interesting things on the beach for 3 hours. I don't know that any of us would describe that particular behavior, and I don't know that any of us can attest to the fact that there weren't guns out on that beach as well. That crowd then comes onto Ocean Drive, but already the Ocean Drive crowd is building. It starts to build early, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. This particular weekend, you could see the evolution of how that crowd grows. You know, to fence in or to have a conversation about an ultra-type activation versus what is a very large open public park, in addition to a very large open public beach, in addition to an actual street. There are laws and very specific limitations as to what we can and what we can't fence in. Certainly, I guess in the future, we could look at maybe fencing in 3 blocks. I quite frankly don't know what that would get us, because we see issues on Collins Avenue. We've seen issues on Washington. We see issues on the side streets. The reason that all the side streets were barricaded and were protected was because we've had the issue with parking and tailgate parties and things that happen from cars that have shown us to be really difficult to manage once the vehicles are inside those side streets. So there's all kinds of reasons why we mobilized the way that we did. There's all kinds of reasons why we made a conscious decision to take over the footprint of Ocean Drive and to take over the footprint of Lummis Park. And there was a very intentional intent to have 3 stages that offered a huge diversity of music that would allow people to flow and to be attracted to the music and hopefully, you know, prevent the congregation.
Commissioner.
But what about, you know, just having, you know, pinch points where, you know, from 5th to 15th, you know, pick the streets. You only have access through, you know, say 3 streets, and to get through those streets after a certain hour, you got to go through a metal detector. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect. But do you get guns out of there, or do you prevent, you know, people with guns from even coming?
We can certainly explore that, not for this weekend, and Rafael can speak to whether that's even legal or not.
Rafael.
We think that, and what the examples that have been used about Ultra and other events is when you have a ticket event and you're creating a perimeter and a secured perimeter. And so certainly in that context, we could plan for something like that, subject to all of the logistical concerns. But to wand people in the public right away without reasonable suspicion is just something that would implicate, you know, constitutional concerns that I know you're very concerned about.
Yeah, I'm not even proposing that. And you basically create the ticketed event. And I don't know if we can do it by Thursday or Friday, but we still have to plan for next year. You know, between the streets of 5th and 15th, whether it's Collins or just Ocean, we have a ticketed event. It's Miami Beach Live, and you have to pre-register, buy a ticket, you know, and or de minimis, you know, it's $1 the ticket, but in order to get the ticket, you have to buy it, and then to participate, you have to go through a metal detector, just like you do to go see a show at the Miami Arena, which is a public venue. or Marlins Park or anywhere like that. I mean, we want to make sure that the crowds are safe. People that are attending these events are safe. That's our obligation.
And the minimum
we can do is have metal detectors, because we are living in a day and age where people are carrying guns into public spaces and using them.
We're
not denying anybody access.
We can certainly explore that, and we can explore doing that. I can tell you, again, this is my second year as your city manager during spring break. I don't know that I can tell you with an honest face that the crowd that we see on Ocean Drive would perhaps not walk into Ocean Drive, but then congregate on Collins and congregate on Washington. And our police department and our fire department would have to then deal with what was happening on Collins and Washington Avenue. This is a crowd that's not going to go through a ticketed event. I don't believe that they will.
All right. Hold on. I want to see if Commissioner Ellis.
I'll take a break and let my colleagues
Vice Mayor, and then I want to get to the folks online.
Well, Commissioner Arriola, I love your line of questioning. We're absolutely on the same page. I got to tell you, I'm a little frustrated what I'm hearing, because I keep hearing, and we've had the same conversation last year. Not to take away, I know you made the best efforts, but I don't view any other option at this point than doing metal detectors. There's literally zero option. I'm telling you right now, I am going to fight for that to the core, because I am not going to go through next year and have dead people in our streets. I'm just not going to do it, and it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. It's gonna happen if we don't have the metal detectors. There's literally zero choice. That's why. By the way, what are we talking about? Public space. Ultra Music Festival is in a public space. It's in a public space. They get the right, and they put up. I had a friend who did their credit card processing. So I once took a look at the. I mean, there's 40, 50 metal detectors that people go through. I don't see, unless people plan on coming in by boat. I mean, I don't understand how we can't make a secured perimeter around the area. I'm just telling you that we're never going to be able to activate our way out of this. We've tried. I give credit that we've made the efforts. They were good activations, but it's not working. We're going through the same thing every year, year after year. I think I'm hearing some level of support for this, and which is good. I think we're going to make this happen. We need metal detectors next year. And if it's beyond Ocean Drive, we'll do beyond Ocean Drive.
Mr. Mayor.
Commissioner.
By the way, and I want to mention, obviously we heard some comments. You know, I've been getting a lot of emails, some against the curfew, but oh my, I've been getting so many emails and texts, messages from residents. We represent not only the businesses, but our residents who are fed up. And it's not just the residents in South Beach who have to deal with this, and people who don't leave their homes and are afraid to leave their homes. But also at Mid Beach and North Beach, nobody wants to be part of a city where this is happening in their city, and they have to deal with this really almost a little bit disgraceful what's happening on an international stage. And it's sad. We're a safe city. We are. If you look at the numbers, relative, we're a pretty safe city. Now, we always deal with issues, and obviously we're always fighting harder to make it even safer. But to have this type of perception spread throughout the world is terrible for me, and obviously then to have people injured that I feel personally responsible for. I actually feel personally responsible for the people that were injured, because I feel we need to do more. And I just went over to the police chief. He said there's no way we can do the metal detectors next week, but next year it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Mr. Mayor.
Commissioner Fernandez, then we're going to go to the folks online. Go ahead.
And I echo 100% the sentiment of my colleagues. In 2021, 80 firearms by the time that a state of emergency was issued. In 2022, 100 firearms. This year, 70 firearms by the time that a state of emergency was issued. The common denominator here, dead people shot in our streets, guns being confiscated by our police officers. We have an issue with gun violence, and the proposals that have been put forward by my colleagues and by members of this community make perfect sense. We have an area of our city that is being invaded by individuals who are bringing guns into our city. The only way that makes sense to control this issue is by creating a controlled environment with centralized entry points and metal detectors, as they do at Ultra, as they do at the Coconut Grove Arts Festival. If they can do it in Miami, Miami Beach can do it better, and we can be safer, and we can be the best destination possible. I think we stand united, and I hope this commission does, because we need to send a message. Guns are not welcomed in Miami Beach, and we need to send it clear for next year.
Okay,
Mr.
Commissioner,
Mayor, can I just
ahead,
say something?
Alina, and then we're going to go to Commissioner Richardson.
It costs $600 to attend Ultra, and I know that certainly if we charge $600 to attend Ultra, we could, in fact, implement what you're describing. I am telling you that the crowds that come to Ocean Drive are not going to pay $600 to come onto Ocean Drive, and the crowd will move to Collins, the crowd will move to Washington, the crowd will move into the neighborhoods.
All right, Commissioner Ayola, then I've got to listen.
Hey, guys, hold on. You got to stop.
You can't just yell at a meeting. Go ahead, Commissioner Ayola, and then I want to go to Commissioner Richardson.
Madam Manager, look, I think maybe, you know, you're going sideways on, you know, Ultra, the $600 is actually, I think it's even more than that. But I think the legal framework that we would need is to have an event, a ticketed event. That's why I said you could de minimis charge a dollar, right? So that's not the gating factor. The gating factor is access to an area that would be a controlled environment. Let's call it Ocean Drive between 5th and 15th, right? It's a ticketed event. That's the triggering legal mechanism, okay? But in order to get in there, you have to go through our security protocols. So in order to, if I'm hearing correctly, in order to establish the security protocols, because we are a free and open society, you have to have an event. So you create an event, you sell tickets for it. You're not excluding people with an unreasonably high ticket price. You're basically making it open to everybody. Just buy a ticket or register online and get your ticket. But in order to get into this area, you have to go through a metal detector. That's the only thing we're asking you to do. So it's not a ticket price that we're trying to use as a gating factor. What we're trying to do is to create the legal framework so that people would have to go through a metal detector so that we can make sure that our public is safe from firearms in a controlled environment.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to get to Commissioner Richardson, then Commissioner Dominguez, then Commissioner Rosen Gonzalez. That's the order I have. Commissioner Richardson.
Thank you, Mayor. And I just want to, first of all, thank the staff, the city manager, and especially all the first responders. It's really incredible that the individuals, the shooters in both of these incidents were apprehended within a minute. So it speaks to the quality of our police force, and I want to thank all of them, the first responders. I just have a few questions. And, you know, last year, first of all, we're going to have a lot of time to talk about next year and what we need to do. I think we need to try to work on some changes in state law. I've been getting a lot of emails from people saying, why can't you be proactive? Why can't you set a curfew in advance? And, you know, state law, as explained to me, is basically a curfew is in response to an emergency and you can't anticipate an emergency. I do think that there may be some ways to address that by signaling to the world that if a crowd size grows to a certain number, that we would consider that a public safety issue. So there may be a way to deal with that, but that'll be for another day and down the road. What I would like to get is some information about what happened last year, because the same thing on the third weekend, we decided to do a curfew for weekend number four, but we know weekend number four is different from weekend number three. So it's always been my understanding that weekend number three was our most challenging, weekend number two was our second most challenging, and weekends number one and weekends number four were not as challenging. So last year, we ended up doing a curfew for weekend number four. And I don't know that we had a lot of incidents, but maybe that's because we did the curfew. But my question is if Alina or police chief or somebody could talk to me about what we did last year and what we saw with the crowds with the fourth weekend. Thanks.
Thanks. Chief, why don't you come up? And Alina, why don't you address the issue and talk a little bit about, I've seen the chart you have of sort of spring breaks, because although it's not really all college kids, it's always been the metric you use to sort of judge what kind of congestion you're going to have and who's going to be here. So why don't you answer Commissioner Richardson the best you can, either of you.
Commissioner, I'll just set the tone in general terms. The police department does an analysis of spring breaks and colleges nationally, and they have a breakdown that, you know, calculates percentages of what we expect any given week or any given weekend. And so for this year in particular, March 4th through March 11th, 20% of the schools throughout the country were on spring break. Actually, probably not the country. I think we do a very targeted northeast.
Yes, ma'am, it's regional.
It's regional. March 11th through the 18th, 41%. Next week, March 18th through the 25th, 23%. March 25th through April 1st, another 9%. What we saw last year after we implemented the curfew was clearly a decrease in the level of activity. The message became very clear very quickly that certain things were not going to happen on the beach. And, you know, again, I think we can only comment from observation that people chose to make decisions to do things elsewhere. And by midnight, because I was here all three nights that we implemented the curfew was actually implemented with very little issue. There were no issues in terms of the actual implementation of the curfew.
Commissioner Richardson, any follow-up?
Yeah, let me just review the numbers because maybe you said the 4th through the 11th, 20%, 11th through 18, 41%, 18 through 25, 23%, and the last weekend was 9%. So maybe there's some rounding differences or whatever, but
no,
that's
we not have some numbers for April. They're just very minimal, but I can go through April. April 1st.
That's okay. You explained it. So there's some. I get it now. Okay. So, but by and large, it looks like 64% of the spring break crowd comes in week number two and week number three. And 9% comes in this fourth weekend, which we're going to, we're looking at a potential curfew. So I'd like the police chief or Alina, you or whoever you'd like to designate, just talk to me about what happened last year on weekend number four, because we know that that weekend is different from two and three. And I know we implemented a curfew and the package store hours were changed, but what happened in terms of arrest and pulling guns off the street and that sort of thing?
Commissioner, I just want to correct one thing. The week that we're in currently that we're going into through the 25th is actually at 23%. I just want to make sure you realize that. It's the March 5th through April 1st that goes to 9%. So there's a spillover effect of the 2 weeks. And certainly Rick can address the issue relative to arrest last year.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of the Commission.
Before we do that, let me just make sure I understand, because I know the dates change every year, but we always talk about weekend number one, which is when we have the winter party. So just so I have the dates right, would that be considered the March 4th through the 11th, or is winter party in a different weekend? Like, I know you're counting the whole week, 4 through 11 is a whole week, but obviously the 3 or 4 days of a weekend is when we get the bulk of it. So remind me, because we always talk again about weekend number 1, 2, 3, and 4 in March. So it's my understanding that the weekend that we're going into is weekend next weekend will be weekend number 4. Do I have that right?
Okay, let's please, guys, let the city staff respond.
But it's the fourth week of the activation, and what we do is we look at the schools that are out that tend to frequent the Miami Beach area, the South Florida area, and we break that down, and we devise our staffing plan in accordance with that. So, Commissioner, you asked, what did we learn from last year? Last year, what we did was we did an enhancement perspective, and actually we called people in, we canceled days off, and we had a staffing plan that really wasn't as structured as it was this year. This year, what we did was we changed off day-off configuration. patients to where there were two sets of days off, and during the peak weekends, which were identified as the weekend that just passed and the one that's coming up, as having everyone working on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. In addition to that, we also had components from the Miami-Dade Police Department, the Miami-Dade School Board Police Department, the Coral Gables Police Department, and members of the ATF that were here as well to assist us. So that's almost close to 470 officers that were on the street during a 24-hour period during what we consider to be the peak days, which are Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we devised that staffing plan based on the intelligence that we got from the schools, and they posted their posted spring break period, and this is the second highest week that we can see that's based on that intelligence.
Commissioner Richardson.
Yeah, thank you, Chief. I want to go back to the dates because I'm looking at my calendar. March 3rd, 4th, and 5th, that was the weekend of Winter Party. Can someone confirm that that's correct? I would consider that weekend number one. Have I got that right?
That is correct, Commissioner. I think the confusion comes in the overlap of how these numbers are calculated. There's an overlap between March 25th and March and the beginning of that second week. I think that's where you're getting caught up in that.
And maybe what we need to do next year is when we're doing these statistics, we need to actually, you know, when you're taking a whole week and it's covering a Saturday of 1 week a Saturday of 1 week, like the 4th through 11th is the end of 1 week and it's going through the Saturday of the next week versus the weekend. Maybe we need to run our numbers a little differently so it's clear. So weekend number two was we'll call Friday the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th. That's weekend number two. Weekend number three is the 17th, 18th, and 19th would be Sunday. And so weekend number four would be 24, 25, and 26. So, and this is why I focus is last year, weekend number three was our most challenging, and we set a curfew for weekend number four. And so I'm not understanding that we're moving into this percent. This weekend number four is the one with the 23% because we know that weekend number three tends to be higher, and weekend number two. So I think the numbers are off a little bit just because we're counting it. Like a whole week, but we're counting a Saturday and a Sunday and so forth. But we're moving into weekend number four, and we know weekend number four is very different from weekend number three and weekend number two. So what I'm struggling with is, you know, implementing, and I understand public safety is number one always, but, you know, I'm struggling with putting forth measures for weekend number four that we wish we had in weekend number two and weekend number three, but for the state law that prohibits us a little bit. So, and somebody needs to address that for me. Why do we need these draconian measures in weekend number four when we really needed the draconian measures in weekend number three and weekend number two? And I realize I'm not faulting anybody at all. I'm not faulting anybody. We're doing the very best that we can. But that's what I need somebody to address for me.
And the only way I can address that is simply because I can't predict that. And I certainly couldn't predict last night that when we were implementing the curfew at the tail end of a weekend that should have been slowing down, we had complete chaos on the streets of Ocean Drive.
Commissioner Richardson, I'm going to ask Rafael to discuss a little bit about acting in front of these issues because I know we have previously tried to roll back, I think, alcohol hours just in March. As I remember, Commissioner Fernandez tried that, and the court said we couldn't. But I think a lot of the residents have said, why don't we just simply, we know these are the bad weekends, why don't we just do something before they happen? And frankly, we have not been allowed to do that because the issues, the things we're about to do are, in fact, very strong and very draconian. So, Rafael, you want to address why we cannot, or at least up to now, have not been able to act in front of these weekends?
I would like to do that, Mayor, I could start by first saying we're talking now about the measures for this state of emergency that was declared for this week. And last year, we were challenged by two establishments that challenged the state of emergency and sought to obtain an injunction. And the measures imposed last year were the same midnight curfew for the same geographic area, the same nearly identical number of days, and we experienced similar incidents over the same weekend. And the court upheld our emergency measures and found, and I've got it before me, that found that the emergency curfew promotes a compelling governmental interest, the health and safety of Miami Beach residents and visitors, and is narrowly tailored to advance that interest and accomplishes its goal through the use of the least intrusive means. The scope of the curfew is short and is in direct response to the documented safety concerns. And those are the same concerns that the manager has outlined in the declaration of emergency measures that she issued yesterday. And we have been notified, and I should notify you, that there are reports of a group that may challenge this emergency measure, but we will be prepared to defend it. We believe you have the right to do that. This has an incredible impact, obviously, on businesses, but this is not a business regulation. This is an exercise of the police power, and it is something that you're entitled to do if your manager and your police chief is telling you that they need these measures to protect the city.
So why don't you address, though, the question that was raised by Commissioner Richardson about the prospective implementation of some of these measures.
That's right, and we can talk about that as early as March 27th, but generally there are limits in the state statute right now in terms of the duration for emergency orders. There is a maximum number of days. They have to serve they have to be narrowly tailored, and so to announce a declaration of emergency measures many months in advance would trip up potentially against the deadlines and the limits in terms of the duration in the statute, and we'd be adopting narrowly tailored measures before looking at and seeing the instances as they occur. But what we do know now that is different from prior years is that we've had the same problem year after year after year. And in 2021, you asked me, can I do this in advance, Mayor? And I told you that I didn't think that it's something that we can do. But the difference between 2021 and today is that we now have the same geographic area, the same problem, the same incidents, and it's foreseeable that we're going to have the same public safety risk in the future. So we'll be looking at how to maybe address that and come back to you with some proposal.
Commissioner Richardson, I think you understood exactly what our city attorney said, but basically for those that are listening, when we tried to do this in previous years, we didn't have the pattern, I think, which is what he's referring to, and a pattern might be able to get us over the issue of doing something beforehand, such as measures designated to certain weekends ahead of time, right? Because when we did do this, I think it was Commissioner Fernandez's ordinance, a court actually refused to allow us to implement it.
Yes, I've seen the emails that you've received on and the text and the commentary about this commission not taking proactive measures, and Commissioner Fernandez last year sponsored an ordinance to roll back alcohol hours for the entire month of March in this same area that we're talking about today, south of 23rd Street. That ordinance was enjoined, and the court specifically in that case found that the city had a traditional law enforcement means available, and the rights of the Clevelander and their brand was more important than the protection of the city and its residents. So we have tried to adopt proactive alcohol hours measures for the month of March, and unfortunately, it met with resistance in the courts. We will be prepared to address in the future at another meeting the different recommendations for how to maybe go about that differently if you want to try again.
Okay, before I go to Commissioner Dominguez, Commissioner Fernandez wanted to squeeze something in.
I'm sorry,
Commissioner Richardson, were you done?
No.
Okay, go ahead then. You go ahead and finish, and then we'll move to Commissioner Fernandez.
Yeah, and I appreciate the the briefing from the city attorney and was I'm well aware of the limitations we have with existing state law, and we'll have those conversations in the future. I think that with the pattern, but also I think there may be a potential for a change in state law, and I'll be in Tallahassee next week, and I'll look forward to talking to my former colleagues, including the speaker and the Senate president, about potentially changing state law to give us a little bit more flexibility, because I think even with existing law, we might be able to get around where we are now. But I do want to hear from my other colleagues. I share some of the concerns that were expressed by Commissioner Areola about a number of people being put out of work and the economic hardship for our city. And also, I want to emphasize, and again, I don't think this was intentional the way the numbers were cut, but clearly we are moving into weekend number four. We are moving into the weekend with the 9%, not the 23%, the 18th through the 25th. That means that is the third week will be over. The students will be going back to school on the 27th. So they're returning home. So from the 26th, the 27th through April 1st is the weekend number four. That is the 9%. So this is what's concerning me, is that we are looking at procedures that should have been applied for weekend number three and weekend number two, but for our limitations with state law. And we're going to now take that and put it on weekend number four, which is a very small percentage of the spring break crowd. And by the way, when we're talking about spring break, most of the problems that I'm hearing about that are being caused, including these horrific things that happened, are not spring breakers. They're people that are joining the party. There are some locals that want to get in on the party atmosphere. So I don't even want to call them spring breakers. They're joining the spring break party, certainly, but they're not, for the most part, spring breakers. But with that, I'd like to hear if my colleagues have some other questions and hear the debate so that I can try to get where I need to be. Thank you.
Commissioner Fernandez, I want to get to Dominguez and Commissioner Gonzalez, who have both been pretty patient. Do you want to very briefly say something, and then I'll get to
Commissioner Gonzalez? Yeah. Well, it's just following up on what the city attorney was saying about the ordinance that we tried to pass last year to proactively get ahead of this, put restrictions in place specifically for spring break, not necessarily because of the alcohol, but to change our brand, that we're not a spring break destination, that we want to be better than that we want to be a cultural destination, and that a court felt that they had the right to overturn what we adopted based on the recommendations of our public safety experts, based on the recommendation of our chief of police. And that's why I'm going to persistently put forward more recommendations. It's on the agenda for the next city commission meeting next week. We need to get ahead of this. We have now 2021 state of emergency, 2022 state of emergency, 2023 state of emergency. We can now predict that this is going to happen. We're getting ahead of the problem, but we're also responding from the recurring problem of three previous years. Let's get ahead of it, institute the state of emergency, restrict alcohol sales during certain weekends, and roll back hours of operation during certain weekends, because the worst economic impact is not a temporary weekend impact. The worst economic impact is the impact to our city's image when they're seeing blood being hosed down the sidewalk in our entertainment district. That is the worst economic impact for Miami Beach, not a weekend rollback for the protection of public safety.
Commissioner Dominguez, here, please. Order. Commissioner Dominguez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you to the city manager and the police department, all first responders. I was out there this weekend on Friday night and Saturday night, and I walked through the crowds with MBPD and city staff. And my observation was that these spring breakers, they had their own bottles of booze, their own sound systems, and they came with no intentions to spend any money in our city, but to trash it. We've all seen the videos of them jumping on cars. It's unacceptable, and it really makes me so angry and sad that people have died on our streets unnecessarily. I, too, worry about the economic impact that would happen with the events that we have coming up, venues that have been booked, all the money that has been spent in advance, and the people that work at these establishments and that need those jobs. And so I do have a bunch of questions. Commissioner Arriola mentioned about closing the perimeter. Is it possible to do that for next weekend and only allow people with ultra tickets to be there? Does the perimeter have to be as large as it is? Would be my other question. Were metal detectors explored for this year? Why is it too late to try to get them now? And finally, the state rep, Fabian Basabe, reached out, and he may have reached out to my colleagues as well, but he is available and ready to offer reinforcement, weapon scanners, trooper checkpoint, license plate readers, funding to help us for this coming weekend.
Okay. We've got lawyer, chief, and manager. You guys can address those any way you want to.
I think that it is very, very difficult for anyone to expect us to implement any type of a enforcement of a perimeter in our city. I don't even know exactly how we would do it. It is Monday. People start coming here or are already here because spring break, most schools, is for a full week. They would be arriving on Wednesday. I don't even know, and I mean, I ask for the chief's advice, where we would set up those checkpoints, how we would staff them, how we would ask people for an ultra ticket, and allow those people to be the ones that get to walk in. I don't know how we would do that. I'm at a loss. And I don't know how the representative could make resources available when we've always asked for support from our state troopers, and our state troopers have rarely been made available even to do traffic enforcement on our causeways. The only support we've ever received has been from our local jurisdictions, and we already have LPR readers in our city. We have 20 of them. 24 of them, I believe.
Yes, ma'am, that's accurate. Mr. Mayor, we would have to look at, for example, what would be the proposed boundaries on that? How we have a vendor that would be able to come in and be able to meet those needs in such a short time frame. As far as the magnetometers and wanding and things of that nature, there are legality issues associated with that we would make sure that we cleared with legal before we could do any of those things. We would have to take into account people that check into hotels, people that are using the parking garage. Where would the borders be for that particular fencing? We would have to check with the state of Florida because, again, if you don't have the beach line going all the way down to the water's edge, you know, people can come up the beach line and again and then actually enter the aspects of that. You know, what is the legality of being able to actually close off the beach? Do we need a permit from the state of Florida and be able to go and restrict that area? So again, these are questions that we'd have to put all on the table. We'd have to be asked and answered very quickly, and then we'd have to go through the process of actually seeing if we could procure those items in a timely manner.
Raphael.
I agree with everything the manager and the chief are saying in terms of all of the study that would need to happen, not only establishing where the perimeter is, but how do you protect and plan for the areas outside of the perimeter where you may have significant problems. In terms of the question that legally, the question of using an ultra ticket, Commissioner Dominguez, I don't think that okay.
I think she might have misspoke.
Okay, we would have to activate an event that isn't a ticketed event in the city. And I don't know that creating a new event and a perimeter in 3 days and marketing an event is I don't know that that's feasible.
Okay. Commissioner Dominguez, you still can continue if you have more questions.
And sorry, it's getting a little noisy where I'm at. I'm not sure if I got the answer. Were metal detectors looked at for this year? What happened?
Okay. The question is, because, look, we have talked about this notion of wanding and things like that. Why don't you talk a little bit about sort of
Well, in order for wanting to be successful, you have to have checkpoints. Where do you establish your checkpoint at? You know, people are coming in from all accesses. They're coming in from parking garages at 7th Street, at 13th Street. They're walking in from the avenues. They're coming up from 5th Street. They may be being dropped off. You know, so the reality of it is that we have to be able to regulate how people get into that area in order for wanding or for metal detectors to be successful.
Okay. Commissioner Dominguez?
I'll wait to hear from my other colleagues, and if I have further questions, I'll raise my hand.
Thank you. Commissioner Rosen Gonzalez, you're recognized. Thank you for waiting.
Thanks. Good afternoon, everyone. Sorry that you are actually got physically sick, Alina. I can hear it in your voice. And I know that you haven't slept and you've been out there every single night. I myself was on Ocean Drive on Friday evening with my son, who, when there was a stampede, was he fell on the floor, and I saw him look up at me with panic in his eyes. And it was the first time we'd ever really been faced with a situation like that. And all I could think of at that moment is, you know, like how did we get to where we are right now, which is really an anarchist chaotic situation. The problem is, and this thing, the same thing happened exactly last year. We did not implement what we needed to do leading up to weekend number 3, which we know is the worst weekend, and we always have incidences of bloodshed and shootings. We do every single year on weekend number 3. And then what do? We have a knee-jerk reaction to weekend number 3, and then we put ultra weekend, which is not a problematic weekend, under curfew. That does not make any sense. What we need to do at this point in time is, if you want to, put up a big fence. Everybody's saying, oh, we can't possibly do it. Yes, you can. You put up a fence and have a few metal detectors. And this is not an ultra ticket. They're saying create a special event space. And in order to enter this special event space, you have to be gun free. And that way we know that from 5th Street to 15th Street, and maybe you extend it and you put up a fence and you get some, metal detectors. We have millions of dollars that we allocated to programming, and we got the wrong kind of programming. And instead of, I know that it was well-intentioned, but that we didn't spend enough money on the right kind of security. And I don't think that we should, for the third year in a row, punish the people during Ultra because of what we didn't do on weekend number 3 when we had the worst weekend possible. So I'm not going to support this weekend's curfew. But next year, I would hope that instead of doing this programming, and frankly, I don't think we were really kept in the loop on the entire Miami Beach Live. I want taxpayers to know that we spent $3.5 million setting up a bar and hosting a party for all of for everyone who came, which I don't think was the right thing for us to do. I feel terrible for the people from the Kiwanis Club who came in. The tents were poorly placed. The palace told me that there was a DJ set up right in front of where their show is. So, I'm not pointing fingers, but it wasn't done the right way. And I'm not going to punish. I'm not going to punish the Ultra weekend because of what we didn't do on weekend number 3.
Mr. Mayor, we have video of our activations if you'd like to see it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Alina.
I said we have video of all the activations if you'd like to see them.
Okay. Commissioner Rosenzales, you're recognized.
Thank you. I'm not saying that it wasn't well-intentioned. I understand that, there's people that say, hey, we put in an Air and Sea show on Memorial Day, and it took, 5 years later, we're getting a better outcome. But this is very, very different. From what we had before, because there were planned events during Memorial Day weekend. There were planned nightclub events in nightclubs. This really is a takeover of the streets. And then you just have to, during this weekend, create a big perimeter and put in metal detectors. And next year, instead of spending the millions of dollars on all this programming that really didn't help, I hope that we just restrict guns from that area, because we all know that the only way to restrict gun violence is by not allowing guns inside. So there shouldn't be any guns on Ocean Drive next year during the third weekend. That's what we need to work toward.
Commissioner, can I clarify?
Respectfully,
this is Memorial Day weekend times 5. There are planned events in every club in our city during spring break, multiple weekends in a row.
Okay. All right. So, Commissioner Rosen-Gonzalez, do you have anything else?
No, just that I hope that this body doesn't punish the Ultra weekend based on what we didn't do in the weekend where we know that we have the worst amount of activity. I also know that we're taking a shot by not placing the curfew because, God forbid, something does happen in weekend number 4, and I didn't vote for this curfew. Then, then I, you know, it's this is a very difficult situation. But, you know, Ultra weekend is not the problem. The problem is weekend number three, when across the world this morning on Bloomberg terminals, okay, and every single investment company in America got an article talking about the fact that Miami Beach had shootings on Ocean Drive. I mean, this is, it's unacceptable.
Okay.
In the third weekend, it's the third weekend, the problem.
Okay. All my colleagues have spoken. I first entertained somebody to move the item.
I'll move it.
Item's been moved and seconded by Commissioner Fernandez. Is anybody objecting to the item?
Yeah, I'm
yes.
Okay, hold on. We're going to go one at a time. So, Commissioner.
So, I mean, just understand we're voting. This is an all or nothing curfew from fifth. No, I'm a no.
Commissioner Ariel is a no. Commissioner Richardson is a no. Commissioner Dominguez is a no. And Commissioner Rose Gonzalez is a no.
Mayor, I'd like to propose an alternate.
I'm a no.
Okay, so it doesn't pass.
Yeah, so I'd like to propose an alternate, Mayor.
Okay.
I was on the prevailing side, and so I can make a motion for reconsideration and offer an amendment.
What's the amendment?
If Rob Manapaz will tell me that's in order.
Well, you voted on the prevailing side, so you can offer an amendment. You can look. I think if you offer something else, we'll consider it. So go ahead.
Thank you so much. So, listen, coming into this meeting, I didn't know where I was going to be. I wanted to hear the debate and hear the discussion, but I think Commissioner Rosa Gonzalez, you know, we don't always agree, Commissioner, but. We're in agreement on this, that we can't punish weekend number four because of the actions of weekend number three. And I know we all want to work very, very hard so that next year we'll have a different situation. And so I think there may be an opportunity for state change in state law. I'm going to work on that. But I think even within existing state law, there's some opportunities here. So, and also the math, you know, is a little, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful to anybody, but it's clear we're moving into weekend number four, which is the 9% number, not weekend number three. The weekend number three is coming to a close. So we know that the spring break crowd is coming. So the only thing that I'm willing to support today is if there is the will of the body to close the package stores earlier, because I know firsthand that there's a huge problem on in the package stores in the Ocean Drive, the entertainment district, and I'm going to be getting I'm going to get data from the Department of Revenue on sales tax data, so we can all look at the number of sales that are going on in the month of March with alcohol sales, because it's taxable. So Department of Revenue will have reports from all of those organizations. And I'm going to get that information. And I'm sure the state representative will work with me to get that data. So I would make a motion that we close the package stores early, like we did last year. And that's what I would support in terms of trying to tamp down people buying alcohol in the MXC and pouring it into a bottle of Gatorade and that sort of thing. So, Alina, can you tell me if what we did last year, was it 6 p.m. or 8 p.m.? And remind me.
It was 6 p.m. 6 p.m., Commissioner.
6 p.m. and it was all of South Beach, and it was for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Is that right?
It was Thursday, 11:59 to Monday, 6 a.m., south of 23rd Street, the same perimeters that I described earlier.
Okay, so that's my motion.
I'll get to you in a second.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, first of all,
Commissioner, that's what I'd like to do, is shut down the package.
Commissioner Richardson, I assume you've moved to reconsider the item and move to amend it so that it only covers the packies?
That's right. I've moved to reconsider the item since I was on the prevailing side, and I think one of my colleagues might second that motion for reconsideration.
Okay, so let's assume we've gone through that process. Before we get there, Commissioner Fernandez wants to speak.
Then my amendment would be to strike everything except for the closure of the package stores And that it would be 6 p.m. the hours that the city manager just mentioned.
Okay, that would Commissioner.
Be in the designated area that the manager mentioned as well.
Okay, we've got Commissioner Fernandez and then Commissioner Minor. Vice Mayor.
Through the mayor, if I could recognize sure. the Chief of Police. Chief, would closing the packaged liquor stores by themselves, just doing that and not doing anything else, in your opinion, does that make us any safer?
I don't see that. Again, people are going to bring their liquor, whether they're going to buy it at a package store or they're going to buy it on their home front or whatever. They're going to try to bring their liquor in. They're going to pour it into bottles that are identified as a Gatorade bottle or something of that nature, or a water bottle. You know, all I can tell you is that I would be taking a guess on this issue. I'm not going to say that it's going to make us any safer. The only thing that makes us safer is us making sure that we're out there and doing everything we can to stop the guns from going.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner, Vice Mayor Minor.
Yeah, I'm not going to support this. It seems like an easy target that's not going to – I really don't think it's going to move the needle at all, so I'm not going to support it.
Commissioner Rosen-Gonzalez, did you want to speak?
Yeah, I think everybody should support closing the package stores at 6 p.m. because I think it is an important tool, especially in the MXC district. I know some people are upset about, you know, regulating the business hours, but I would definitely, you know, encourage this. Just because I was on 9th Street and I saw that the package store was closed this past weekend, and it makes a huge difference. 9th Street with that package store open was an absolute disaster, and people were selling drugs when it's closed. I mean, you do have a measure of safety, so it has to help somewhat. And I would encourage you, Commissioner Minor, to at least support this. And I would recommend, and I don't know how you put up a checkpoint so that people who are driving drunk, we can breathalyzer so that we can make sure that, you know, we don't have, people who are cruising around the city intoxicated. So hopefully, Chief Clemens will have, our people out there on the streets. The businesses will have the French barricades if they need any. And, and hopefully weekend number 4 is not going to be a disaster. I don't think it will be, because I think we are reaching the 9% number that Commissioner Richardson was mentioning earlier.
Yeah, just in response to the DOI checkpoints, we do have to provide notification on that. It's incredibly manpower conducive in terms of the numbers of people that we have to put out. There's a whole process associated with that. We do have the existing LPR detail that's going to be in place this week, this weekend again. Again, it's spreading my resources out into the traffic locations or the infrastructure coming in rather than where the people are congregating.
Commissioner, Vice Mayor, you want to speak?
Yes, thank you. And Chief, I do understand that, and I'm glad Commissioner Dominguez raised that issue about for next week. I asked you sort of in a little sidebar here whether you thought it was possible, and I can tell when you're like hesitant and when you're like an adamant no, and you were an adamant no for next week, but as I've made it clear, we're starting now, and I think we have consensus in our commission. It's going to happen next year. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard, and there's a lot of factors we have to consider. Alina brings up a good point about spilling over, but we're going to get that done because we're not going to have this meeting next year. Nope. I'm telling you, no, we are not going to have this meeting next year.
If I may, Commissioner, I think.
Hey, stop it. Please.
I think what I said, Commissioner, was do I have enough time to do that? I think to do it right, to do it well, we need more time than 3 days. And that's what I asked you. Again, we don't want to make a mistake. We don't want to shortchange ourselves, and we want to make sure that we do it correctly. So that was the response that I gave you. Is it possible for me to do it within 3 days? And I said no, not to do it well, not to do what the standard that we're used to doing it.
So getting back to the amended motion that Commissioner Richardson has made, I mean, last year we did what our city manager is now recommending. Mm-hmm. A judge upheld us. And I'm hearing now, I'm asking you, and I have my own opinions, but obviously I want your expertise, you, Chief Alina, whether, I mean, this seems like a really, to me, it seems this amended motion seems like an extremely watered down, really not moving, doing anything personally. But I want to hear from you whether you think this would do anything. Well, obviously, if it's something you think would help, I also, I noticed it's very interesting, there's no, unless I'm missing something, there's no liquor package stores people here. Nobody's reached out to us from the liquor package store. They're kind of individual, small business owners.
I think what we...
I can tell you that I drove to...
Hey, please, you can't yell. Just please.
At 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday night, I drove Collins Avenue, and I saw what was happening in front of the packaged liquor stores in between actually 6th and 22nd, and I think that anything will obviously help. So I do believe that it would be helpful to have the 6 p.m. I just, again, don't want to mislead anybody into thinking that it is going to help us to the extent that we needed a vote today to help us.
And just, again, the way the question was phrased, will it make us safer? And then my response to that is I can't answer that question. Now, will it help? Sure. Absolutely, because it limits the locations that people can go and congregate outside of the entertainment district of the ADCD. But, again, the way the question was posed to me was will it make it safer? And I can't answer that question. But will it help? Yes.
Do we have any evidence whether the violent incidences were related to anything with the package stores?
No. All we can really tell you is that's where the crowds go to congregate. They can obtain their alcohol at a cheaper rate. And what we're talking about as well is just the congregation should spill over onto the roadways, operation of the vehicles in an unsafe manner. You know, and then more importantly, deploying our resources throughout those areas of the city where the stents to occur. I would strongly recommend that if you're going to consider that it does stay within the boundaries proposed by the manager and it goes all the way up to Dade Boulevard and it captures all those liquor stores as well.
Commissioner Ayola.
Some thoughts. I think we heard a lot of good ideas today. And hopefully that'll inform us as we plan more for next year. And, you know, Alina, Chief, the fact that we didn't support this today, you know, it doesn't mean you don't have our full support. We just don't think this is the path forward. You know, maybe these were the measures we should have had in place last weekend. I don't know. Hindsight's always 20/20. But you can hear the trepidation that we aren't confident this is the right approach for next weekend as the crowds change that are coming in. But I struggle that we're going to walk out of here having done nothing, and we're still going to have a situation where, you know, the public is at risk because we have people walking our streets that are carrying weapons and don't hesitate to use them. It's shocking that, especially the shooting that happened on Saturday night, that shooter will never see the light of day again in his life. I understand he was 24 years old, and in a moment of whatever wasn't going through his warped mind, he gave up his freedom for the rest of his life. And that's what we have walking in our streets. And we got to figure out ways. We got to figure out ways to just make our streets safer. Curfew is not a long term solution. I think we have to look at some of the safety measures we talked about today, so that next year and other times when we have these large groups, particularly groups that bring weapons into our city, that we have safety checks to take as many weapons out of their hands as we can. We're not going to be perfect. There's obviously ways around that, some of which were talked about today. But anything we can do to make the public safer, we should be examining barricades, closing parking garages, metal detector, having more spotlights on Ocean Drive, just making it more unpleasant to be a party scene. More license plate readers, slowing the causeway down, making it less pleasant for people who are going to drive in on a Friday or Saturday night to participate in the spring break party. Just make it harder for them to come in. But, you know, punishing our businesses that are law-abiding and all of their employees, I don't think that's also a good solution. I think going into next year, talking to our businesses, along Ocean Drive and in the MXC, you know, potentially closing some of their businesses earlier, you know, given the assurance that we're not going to keep bringing up the 5 a.m. issue, if in exchange that during this busy third week of spring break, they all agree, you know, close at 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night so that we can start, you know, closing down our streets, and that's maybe a compromise we can explore. I'm thinking about a couple of businesses that recently opened on Washington Avenue that, in my opinion, are businesses that we should be encouraging? I'm thinking about, for example, the Queen restaurant. I think all of us attended, you know, that grand opening. That business owner pumped in millions of dollars to invest in our city in a very high-end restaurant. I understand next week or this week, whenever it is, another nightclub that I'm told made a significant investment, again, on Washington Avenue, M2, is going to be opening. I'm thinking, and I've said this before, my opinion is we rearranged the chairs in the Titanic when we talk about, you know, closing things down at 2 a.m., rolling back to 5 a.m. I think what we need to be exploring is fewer but better nightclubs and bars, the type of establishments that invest real money into their operations, have security, are responsible business owners, and that can have the assurance from the city that we're not going to be playing with them, you know, closing things down at 2 a.m., midnight, having curfews, and just taking away all of their revenue sources. What ends up happening is those businesses don't come here. And what ends up happening is we have more liquor stores and more pizza by the slice and more vape shops and more occult bookstores and stuff like that. So we end up having the wrong conversation when we pursue this 2 a.m. or midnight, whatever, rollback. What we have to do is police our streets, make our public safe, and work with our business community to have better establishments, close down the bad ones that help contribute to this, and, you know, really change our city and not cater to the crowd that's coming. Because the crowd that's coming don't go into our bars, don't go into our nightclubs. They party in the streets. They get a pizza. They go to a liquor store, or they, you know, do other things to get themselves inebriated, and they just party in the streets. And we're taking it out on law-abiding businesses, and it becomes a death spiral because those businesses go out of business, and what's left are boarded-up shops which bring blight or that are in turn end up being, you know, the kinds of establishments that we don't want here. So I want us to be, you know, more strategic in some of our decisions because, as I understand, for example, this M2 establishment that's going to cater to the ultra crowd that's going to be coming, they've invested millions of dollars in the building, and if we implemented a curfew, they wouldn't be able to open. And we chase those businesses away. That establishment has been closed, I think, for 5-6 years at least. That whole block is blighted. Where there's blight, there's crime, there's trouble. So, again, I'm bringing this up because underneath all of this discussion today is hours of operation for bars and restaurants. Whenever we start closing things down, you know, arbitrarily, it has these unintended consequences that we end up bringing more blight, more crime to our city. So, not happy that we aren't taking more measures, but I think the curfew would have been a mistake.
Commissioner Richardson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mayor. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you perfectly.
Okay. I've lost the video feed from the chamber, but I have the audio. So I just want to make clear what my motion is, and then I want to be clear that I'm supporting it in case I lose the connection. But it's the same geographic area that was proposed by the city manager and the same hours. I do want to make it clear that it would also include any deliveries. So a package store wouldn't be able to stay open for the purposes of delivery. And also, I wouldn't want to see a package store on the outside boundary of the area delivering into the area. So that I just want to make that clear. And the item's been moved and seconded. And so I'd like to call the question before I lose the feed. So
I'm going to let everybody speak. We have a couple people who want to speak, Commissioner. Commissioner Rosen Gonzalez.
Yes, I'm seconding that motion. Many business owners on Ocean Drive have told me and observed that if you keep it open to cars during this type of event, it does break up the street crowd. I think closing off, I was in the MFC trying to drive around. I think it makes it way worse. There are people driving over the medians on Washington Avenue. I think that you should open the streets up to traffic because I think that it breaks up the crowd and things will flow more smoothly. And if you have cars, then you're not going to have these types of stampeding or gathering. So in addition to the package stores, Commissioner Richardson, I would ask you to include that we open it up to traffic too, because I don't think that anything
just for clarification. Okay. I just
coming
wanted to
from
clarify.
Keeping it closed.
The plan was always for Ocean Drive to be open next weekend.
Yeah, Ocean Drive's open next weekend regardless to cars.
Yes, that was always the plan.
Okay, so that's great.
I'll
so open to cars, and I'm
to
voting yes on that, and now I'm logging off, so we can't change the motion, I've been told. So if I'm a yes on this motion, okay?
Commissioner Fernandez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a question for the city attorney, because I want to just be very mindful of the city manager's authorities, because we've delegated to the city manager in times of important periods of time, like high impact periods such as these, the ability to, you know, limit the sale of alcohol and the hours of packaged liquor stores, and address issues such as limitations of traffic routes and establish occupancy limits for different parts of public beaches and that type of stuff. What's being proposed under the motion of my colleague, is that covered under the high-impact ordinance that we have in place?
I'd have to check. I don't think that an earlier termination time for package is covered. But I do want to clarify, the manager under the law has the authority to impose a declaration of emergency for a 72-hour period. So the original motion that was before you was to extend that authority beyond the 72-hour period to cover the period that she was proposing through March 27th. You don't want her to impose the measures, and this is something that she needs to take into account. But really, the motion that's before you is to only authorize any extension of a state of emergency to apply to packaged liquor at 6 p.m. with a 6 p.m. termination time.
Right. Commissioner Richardson essentially, through a circuitous route, has just brought us back to the original motion without the curfew.
That's right. But she still has the authority to impose a curfew for a 72-hour period, is what I'm trying to say. But she'll need to take into account that the body, and we'll meet after this meeting.
Oh, I see.
That the body has expressed that you don't want to see the curfew in place.
Commissioner Richardson, your hand is up. Do you want it up, or is it just a leftover?
Well, I took it down, but I just wanted to clarify what our city attorney just said. That, and it's exactly accurate in that my motion does not prohibit the city manager or take away her powers on emergency next weekend. So we are putting this measure, if it passes, in place on package stores. If next Friday night something happens and she feels like that she needs to take other action, we're not, through this measure, prohibiting her from her exercise of her duties or her her right.
All right, we're going to bring this in. Is there anyone else who wants to be heard? Seeing none, let me just, the Vice Mayor.
I feel like it's like somebody's bleeding, like, profusely, and you're putting a little Band-Aid on it and trying to fix it. I mean, it's like, I don't want to vote no to it because I feel like it's doing something, but I don't really feel like it's doing anything. So I'm completely torn. It's like, I feel like it's kind of a waste.
Okay. At this point, Commissioner Minor, Vice Mayor, are you going to be for it based on what you just said? I just want to know what the vote is. I can't do it.
I don't know.
Okay, well, we'll do it this way. Listen, let me just say this before we vote. It's a big deal when your police chief and your manager, Commissioner Fenner, do you want to speak?
Well, I mean, this is like acknowledging we have a problem, but we don't want to take the bold action because we don't want to piss off important businesses in our city. And by the way, hats off to those to everyone that works in the hospitality industry that had to deal with terrified patrons in our community. Hats off to them because they too were heroes this weekend. But you know, we have a crisis in our community. We don't want to take the bold action, but yet we want to take a very you know, weak action that we don't even know if it's going to make a difference. It puts us in a position, yeah, the supporter to support something, but we have our chief of police who stood in front of us and who told us that to protect the life and safety of our community, they were recommending extending this emergency order, and we voted no, and now we're saying we're just going to close off packaged liquor stores. I mean, it's something. But it's not really what the men and women who run towards the bullets need in our community. They don't need us necessarily doing this smaller action. What they really needed us doing is making sure that we followed the public safety recommendations of our police chief and our city manager. And so I'm going to support this because it's better than nothing, but I'm not thrilled about it. We always, when it comes to public safety, we need to defer. I strongly believe, respectfully, to my colleagues, we all come from different positions, but I feel we strongly, you know, need to respect the needs of our officers who are out there fighting this when we are not out there.
Before we vote, let me just say this. I've listened to everybody, and look, I'm obviously, I'm going to support the motion simply because it's, as I think one of my colleagues said, it's better than nothing. Just don't know that it's much better than nothing. And I think what Commissioner Fernandez said, there's a lot of truth to that. I was out there a bunch of times. I know Commissioner Fernandez was out there almost every night, it looked like. And by the way, not just this last weekend, but the weekend before, which I think probably resembles the weekend we're about to come up. And I can tell you, even though there were not, shootings at that time, it did feel like a tinder. It felt like, and talking to the police out there, which I did, they all felt like there was a situation that could easily erupt into a dangerous moment in our city. The fact that it happened on the third week and not the second might just have been luck, but it's not something, but luck is not a plan. Luck is not a plan. You know, we have a real problem with the number of people that are coming and the guns that are coming. And by the way, the 71 guns that were collected as of a few days ago weren't all collected the day before. They were collected over the course of weeks where the percent, where we're going over the numbers, were not even close to what they were the third week. So there are going to be guns and there are going to be people, there are going to be a huge volume of people. Our cops are going to have to put their hands on people throughout the day and night because of the volume of people that are going to be there. One of the reasons why I support the curfew, frankly, is it stops our cops from having to work past midnight in this area where things get most dicey and most dangerous. It avoids those unintended consequences that happen and, of course, the peril and danger that our residents, our visitors, and our police are under. And I'll just say this finally. You know, it feels as though we're balancing business interests with the public safety. I understand that's a balancing that happens. I just don't think after this weekend that that's a balancing we can do. I don't think we can balance, as much as I like our hospitality industry, we can't balance that interest when we've had two people killed over the last weekend in as many days. And our police are telling us in no uncertain terms that it is a continued dangerous situation. So if we're going to go, if this commission is going to go through that balancing, I understand it. It's not one that I embrace. I don't think you balance public safety with anything. And that's why I'll support this, but I think we're making a big mistake. I hope it's not one that results in something much worse. I just hope it's just a mistake in the vote. Commissioner, Vice Mayor.
I agree. I'm kind of holding my nose with this vote. What I don't understand also, maybe people can explain it to me afterwards. I had already sort of asked for the special meeting, but I had a number of business operators sort of asking for the curfew, thanking us, saying they were shutting down. And those same people are calling me today and reaching out saying, don't do this. I'm a little confused. I'm really confused by it. I would like to know why there's a difference between what we did last week and what we're proposing to do this week. And somebody can explain that to me afterwards. But I guess I'll propose it again to our chief and Alina, and I'll ask you. I mean, I know this is not what you want. It's not what I wanted either. I really don't think it's going to move the needle. But in your professional opinion, do you think this latest motion is better than nothing?
It is.
I concur.
Okay.
All right. Is there any objection to the motion?
Yeah, right. I'm not going to vote for it. One is not going to make a difference in this whole notion of, you know, we got to do something. You know, we did this crap during COVID, right? I mean, let's be real. If it's not going to make a difference, don't punish the businesses that are going to be affected by this and their employees. I mean, there's so – I'm not even sure this crowd does a whole lot of drinking, if you know what I mean, all right? And they're going to bring their own booze. Booze is easy to get. The bars are going to be open. I mean, so booze are going to – their ability to get liquor – whether it's across Miami or just drive north, it's easy. So this is really rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. Let's not do something to do something. If anything, I would direct, again, our you know, our chief and our city manager to, you know, take under advisement, strong advisement, some of the remedial measures that all of us were suggesting, whether it's putting up additional barricades, more spotlights on Ocean Drive, examine whether or not we can get metal detectors. Do some of these things. Close our parking garages after 6 p.m. or something so that people that are driving in just for the night to go party on Ocean Drive can't find parking and have to turn around and go someplace else. I mean, those are things that I'd like to see us explore, you know, rather than, you know, just closing some liquor stores that I don't think are going to have much effect at all.
Okay, there's going to be – anyone else voting a no? Anyone else voting no? I'm looking at the Zoom, and I don't see anyone else raising their hand no. So show it passed 6-1, and that's the end of the meeting.